Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Laura Barletta, owner and curator of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art, and Michael Klein, director of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art. Laura?
Yes.
Michael, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to talk to you about this museum. And I have to tell you, for most of my life, I've gone and visited New Salem because I'm a bird watcher and I'm always going into Quabbin. And, you know, and I've seen that house, obviously. And then all of a sudden, a couple of months ago, I see that these beautiful signages for a new museum. And I was knocked on my heels. I couldn't believe there was going to be a beautiful museum. And I researched you and I immediately wanted to get you on this show. So welcome both of you to Inquiry. Let's talk about where the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art is, first and foremost. Somebody want to take that?
Sure. Sure, I'll take it, Mark. So we are located at the top of the Quabbin Reservoir, right off of Route 202. We're about 20 minutes east of Amherst, and we're about 90 miles west of Boston. So we're in central Mass. It's a rural farmland community, which happened to have a couple of really beautiful buildings at one point, which were part of the New Salem Academy, which was a school, private high school here in Massachusetts. And so, yes, that's where we are. We're right where our building used to be the dormitory and home ec building of that New Salem Academy.
When are you open?
We're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 to 5.
Okay. Now, the mission, one of the missions of this museum is creating a stronghold for contemporary realist art in New England. Talk to me about where that mission came from and why that mission.
Yeah, I can speak to that. So there's a group of contemporary artists working in the tradition of the kind of Renaissance and French academic time periods. And so this collection really focuses and highlights the new work being done in that genre.
Now, is there a feeling that it doesn't get enough sort of, not airplay, but gallery play in a lot of museums? Everybody focuses on other kinds of art, but often realistic art really seems to get short shrift sometimes.
Sure. I think that it's the same with everything. I think that kind of the more specific something gets, the less mainstream it is.
Yep.
So this is one of the first institutions to focus exclusively on contemporary realism. So we don't have any abstract or installation art hanging. And that's much in part due to Laura's kind of passion for this kind of art.
Laura, talk to me about that. I mean, first of all, talk to me about your passion for art and where that started, and then how this museum came to be.
Well, you know, I was never really, I wasn't raised around art and didn't go to college for the arts. But, you know, about 20 years ago, my husband and I were just taking a weekend getaway for our anniversary in New York City, and we were staying down in Soho, and I happened across, just walking around, there was a gallery there that had, coincidentally, one of Michael's paintings in the window, and I saw it, and I thought it was incredible, and so I went in and started talking to the gallery owner. My husband was back at the hotel at the time watching football, but we, so I brought him back in and the two of us took a look at it and we bought it. At the time, Michael was just getting started. He was in his 20s, Michael.
Yeah.
And it just felt really good to, be able to support a living artist, and then also have something beautiful in our home. So, you know, sort of like, you know, eating potato chips where you can't just have one. It was, you know, once it was up and hanging in the house, it was such an incredible feeling to look at it every day that we decided to buy something else. And then it just kind of snowballed. And so that was you know, like I said, almost 20 years ago. And, you know, we got on the roller coaster and it just keeps going.
Now, did you collect other art? I'm sure you did. Other artists other than Michaels?
Yeah. Yep, we do. I think right now we have about 260 pieces. and there's about about 200 different artists.
Wow.
That we have in the collection. Yeah.
Now, how are you guided in knowing which artists that you wanted to collect? Did you just collect what you thought visually was interesting, or were you taking other people's advice about what artists you should be looking for?
No, it was, I mean, there were, it was pretty much instinctual. You know, I would never buy anything that I didn't like.
Yep.
So we just kind of started looking at galleries that carried this sort of representational art. And, you know, every once in a while, there'd be something that would catch my eye. And if it was in the price range and, it was a good time to buy it, we would try to acquire it. So, you know, there were gallery owners who would give me a heads up to something that they thought was special.
Cool.
But we didn't work with any art consultants, per se, or, art people that drove us in a particular direction.
Now, I have to ask you, Laura. You have 200 pieces of art in your house. You don't have a house big enough to display all of it at once, do you?
No, we don't. We actually, that was one of the reasons why we decided to open the museum.
well, it's as good as any reason to open a museum.
I know. And, you know, it was just, we do have art here. Obviously, there's about, how many, Michael, 70 paintings hanging right now?
Yikes.
I do have some at my house, at my residence, and we keep some through the in our basement here. We've got racks that we rotate through, and then my husband and I have vacation property down on the Cape that we keep a few pieces in. So we sort of just kind of we just did a big rotation in mid-June, and we just kind of took a few things from each place and brought it all together and hung it, and it all just kind of worked. So
wait, Laura, you got to tell me about how you came to New Salem, because that, you know, a lot of people thinking, well, you know, it's interesting to open a museum, and probably down on their list would be New Salem. It's a beautiful small New England town, by the way. I want to mention, I always thought it had a lot of character, and I think there used to be a squirrel weather vane that was in the town that got stolen or something like that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about the weather vane. That would be tragic.
It did. It was. I think on the town hall building. But anyways, it's an absolutely gorgeous place on a dirt road out of town. There's maple sugaring shack down there, and there's just a lot of character to the town. It's really, really beautiful. But why New Salem?
Well, the property belonged to my in-laws, okay. And I was actually married in the church down the street.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
So, and I had my my wedding reception here in this building. So, you know, the building was sentimental to us. When my mother-in-law decided to sell it, it was back in, I think, 2015 or 16, she had it on the market for a couple of years, had a few lowball offers, but it sat as sort of a white elephant out here. So we just decided to make her an offer on it and to try to keep the property in the family. And it was Michael's idea, actually, to turn it into a museum. So that was back in 2017, 2018. And... Yeah, that was all. He's like, hey, Laura, have you ever thought about taking that place that your in-laws own and doing something with it?
Okay, you got to tell me what your reaction is when he suggested that.
Oh, it was like, you know, a lightning bolt. I mean, I was like, well, I think that's a great idea. Let me just talk to my husband. And so the two of us talked about it. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So,
first of all, it's a beautiful location. The interior is beautiful.
Thank you.
And it's a beautiful spot to be able to enjoy art. But tell me, you must have had it done a ton of renovation.
Yes, we did. We had to, in order to turn this into a public building, there, of course, there were many guidelines.
Yep,
we had to
yep.
make this ADA accessible. We wanted to anyway, but, we had to put in a sprinkler system. There's no, the water is all well water out here. So we have a huge tank, which we have for our, supply our sprinklers. We had to put in an elevator, ramps, ADA bathrooms, so it was just, it was a big job. It was a big job.
Let's talk about how many pieces are on display at one time. How many pieces are actually hanging at any one time?
You want to take this one, Michael?
Yeah. So the space really allows for, it can be anywhere between 50 and 75 paintings, depending on size and how tight we hang them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's three floors of exhibition space. The first and second floor are dedicated kind of permanent collection exhibition space. And then on the third floor is the academy. So we'll hang artwork that is more kind of geared towards kind of masterful examples of academic artwork. So we have a pretty special life-size nude figure from an artist named Daniel Sprick up there. So yeah, anywhere between 50 and 75.
That's amazing. How often does it rotate?
We're planning on doing at least one major rotation a year. We have events scheduled. Our big event for next year is International Painting Competition. And part of the vision for that is to hang the finalists in the museum.
Wow.
So there'll be a selected 50 selected finalists. They'll hang for a period of a couple months. And we'll do a big dinner, and we have a big grand prize award that we award to one artist.
Let's talk about the Academy for a minute. What is the Academy? Talk to me about the Academy.
Yeah, so the Academy really is a distinct vision apart from kind of typical university or even some of the smaller schools that specialize in teaching this kind of art. What we offer here is almost like a mentorship or a mini graduate program where kind of artists can come and study the collection and learn from the art that we have hanging. And so they're able to interact with professional artists, works of art on the first and second floor. And then they have the live model up on the third floor. And we host quarterly workshops, which are a week long. And then we have ongoing open studio every Sunday.
Now, if people want to learn more about these classes, he said, straightlining you, how would they find out about it? What's your website?
Yeah, our website is newsalemmuseum.com.
Now, I want to talk about this competition. Talk to me more about this competition.
What would you like to know?
Everything. You said it's an international competition. Does that include people from Massachusetts?
So it's open for everyone. To submit artwork in the genre of contemporary realism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a small fee for the entry, and you can enter as many paintings as you want. And it'll be curated based off of the vision that we have that we've put forth in the permanent collection. So really it's an opportunity for artists who have that want to be in the museum to have a chance at there's a single acquisition award of $25,000, and all the artists will be kind of going for that award. And the thing that makes it the most unique is that the evening of the dinner for the finalists, we're doing so the artists will be curated into the show, but then the artists themselves will select the best painting. So the artists, the finalists, will select the best painting of the group.
How is that going to work? Aren't the artists going to vote for their own work?
Well, they can't vote for their own work. That's the one rule we have.
So when's the deadline?
January 15th, 2025.
Okay, and when you're asking for submissions, are you asking for slides or photographs?
Digital images, yeah.
Okay. And again, to find out about that, that's also on your website. I know that.
It is, yes.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are Laura Barletta, owner and curator of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art, and Michael Klein, director of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art. Michael, I want to talk to you a bit about your own work.
Yeah.
When did you start working? Like, when did you know this is what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a visual painter.
Yeah, that's a great question. Like many of my colleagues and professional artists that work in this genre, I think it's very common for artists to know very early on that they're gifted in some capacity to be able to paint or draw. Typically, it's drawing. Typically, you hear the story of being the best kind of kid in the class, and everybody asks.
Was that you?
And that was very much my case. So
where'd you go to school? Where'd you go to school? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the Midwest, so in a small town in North Dakota. And yeah, I had an oil painting studio in my parents' garage when I was 10.
Were your parents artists too?
No, my father was a dentist. Kind of a, yeah, it was. I think the thing that was interesting is the connection with, you know, he used to kind of talk about the coloring of the teeth and sculpting. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so there was a connection, but definitely not the path I chose.
But were they people who deeply appreciated art and supported you?
Yeah, in some way. I think they were more interested in allowing their kids to do what they want and supporting them in any way possible.
So they weren't some of these parents who were very concerned that their daughter or son was going to go into art and therefore be unemployed.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had that concern. I think they kind of buried it.
I think that's pretty typical. So how did that beginning impulse to make art, how did you evolve as an artist? Did you always do the work, the kind of work that you're doing now, or did you evolve to that point?
Thankfully, I had applied to a couple scholarships. I received scholarships from Savannah College of Art and Design and the American Academy of Art in Chicago. But I ended up not going to those two institutions because of kind of what I could see coming. I just didn't think it was the right path for me. So at the time, the internet was actually just kind of coming on the scene, and somehow we stumbled upon a school that had a website in Minnesota that was dedicated to classical painting and drawing. And it was a really weird kind of find because it was in the suburbs. Huh. A lady had built a really amazing studio with all North Light. It was a, you know, several million dollar facility. His father had made a bunch of money in the stock market, and she wanted to pursue classical education, so she had kind of stumbled upon the Boston painters, and there was an artist in Minnesota that
Right.
studied out in Boston. So there's that whole connection, and so that was really the beginning. You know, as a teenager, and I'm 44 now, so it's been a long time, and I've been kind of on this path. Pretty, in the sense that I'm very dedicated to not just me or my career, but like what other artists are doing and saying. And I think that's where it fits in with my shared passion with Laura and kind of being excited about younger artists.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think that's kind of what, the most unique aspect of all this.
What's your medium of choice?
Oh, oil painting.
Okay.
Yeah, oil paint.
Did you go through a watercolor phase?
Not entirely. I mean, there was a little bit of acrylic, like when I was younger, but it was mainly oil.
And what subject matter do you gravitate towards?
It's figurative for the most part, and then later on, I became known for floral still life. Actually,
yep.
So,
yep.
That's been a big still lifes have been a big part of my. Kind of voice.
Do you like to work large or small?
Really anything.
Okay.
It's more difficult to sell and place larger works for many reasons because people don't have
They don't have big spaces to exhibit them in their home. I know that. Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So what artist would you consider to be a real inspiration to your work?
For me personally, there was a time period in 19th century France that...
You're talking about the Barbizon painters?
There's movements like that. I'm interested in the naturalists, so yep. artists like Camille Friant and Bastien Lepage, Danyan Bouveret. These are kind of relatively unknown artists for the general public, but they were very famous in their day. And it was a cross between coming out of the academy and also being influenced by the Impressionists at the time. So it's slightly more academic than John Singer Sargent. But yet not as tight as some of the academicians.
Now, I want to mention that the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art doesn't just have contemporary artists. There are historical artists like John Singer Sargent, Andrew Wyeth, Dennis Miller Bunker, and others. Can somebody talk about that? Like, are these pieces owned by Laura?
Yes, we were fortunate enough to be able to acquire these pieces for our permanent collection.
Wow.
It was just fortuitous. The stars aligned, and it turned out that, you know, for my husband's business, there was a large sale property, and so there was, you know, we were able to make some investments in some famous pieces.
This includes French Barbizon painters too, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, we do. We have a Millet, a Perot, a couple of Daubenys, Chagnot. We will be having a Barbizon show at some point because although I love the Barbizons, my husband is particularly fond of them. So we do own a bunch of those, which will be on exhibit probably sometime in 2025. We're still working on the calendar for 2025. But Michael and I both felt like it was important to, you know, not only show young painters that are working today, but also the older inspirational painters for the young generation. So we were able to get a few really great pieces that, and also we use those initially to draw people in to make the, you know, to have them make the drive out to see us, since we're kind of a in a rural setting here, not really, you know, it's a commitment to come out. And we wanted to make, you know, people, I don't know.
Well, first of all, the fall is going to be a perfect time for people to come out and visit.
Absolutely.
You can't beat New Salem and the surrounding area in the fall in New England. It'd be a beautiful spot. Like I mentioned, there's a sugar shack down the road there. And it's just a beautiful spot and beautiful painters, too. Michael, I wanted to, or Laura, too, would you include the painters of the Dutch Republic of the 17th century to be realistic artists, too?
Give some examples.
Rembrandt.
Absolutely. The distinction really, I mean, there are like kind of different terminology and, you know, realism in the 19th century is slightly different than realism now. But for the general public, what it's kind of referencing is that it's not abstract. So contemporary realism is just a phrase that is used, and it seems to be sticking. There's been a lot of kind of people aren't sure what to call this over the last 30, 40 years.
Just
kind of been floating. And so, but that seems like a decent term to kind of put an umbrella around.
Well, that would be an interesting sort of dialogue or panel discussion to have at the museum is the definition of what this art is.
Yeah, it'd be fun. You're really good at moderating. You should come.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
I'll be bird watching. I taught at the Worcester Art Museum for 40 years. And which has a strong collection of Dutch 17th century and actually Netherlandish paintings from before. And I really fell in love with that kind of interesting realism, which is also symbolic. And so there, even though it looks very realistic, it has layers of symbolism on it.
Yeah.
And does that ever happen in contemporary realistic art, where you have that kind of symbolism, like you have the symbols of the five senses or whatever, that are in these like still lifes and stuff like that?
Yeah. I think it depends on the artist, but allegorical work is common today in contemporary realism. The artists continue to try to kind of, add some kind of secretive element into their work, so it's not just a photograph.
I think your museum would be a perfect place to hold like a discussion on that.
Yeah. We do plan to kind of roll out panel discussions and different events as time goes on. We've been very kind of organically building this whole schedule and how things are going
to. Yeah, but that's, I think that's really exciting to be there at the beginning of a museum.
Yeah, it is.
It has been. It's been terrific. And it, we had our first concert here a couple weeks ago.
Very cool.
And it was a smashing success. So we're definitely looking to do more of that. We're talking about having film, doing film here, and showing documentaries on artists, and having it be not weekend
sure.
evenings, to give people in this area a place to go at. And things to do during the week or on the weekend.
Okay, we're completely out of time. My guests tonight have been Laura Barletta, owner and curator of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art, Michael Klein, director of the New Salem Museum and Academy of Fine Art. You should check this museum out. Both of you, Laura and Michael, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mark. It's been really nice talking to you about this.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.